Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Yes, God. Thank you, God. What a powerful name it is. Amen. What a powerful name. You guys may be seated. As you're seated, can we thank our worship team? Come on, eh? These guys put their heart and soul into it. I love each and every single one of these young men, young women. So grateful for them and have them a part of our life. But good morning. Welcome to Gateway. I'm excited to share with you guys this morning. We're gonna share our story. If you don't know, we are going to be headed to Phoenix, Arizona, to go start our fifth campus, our Gateway fifth campus. So we're going to share that story. I'm very excited to hear my favorite speaker of all time. My wife and I are going to tag team this message.
Our prayer is that you would just leave here today encouraged and inspired. And we're just so honored and happy to be here. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah. To set this up, we'd love to show you guys this video that some of our team put together. Tells a little bit of our story and where we're going.
A word kept popping into my thought life, occurring, and the word was Decapolis. And the definition of Decapolis is 10 cities. So Jesus said, when you are faithful, I will give you 10 cities. Decapolis is a place of huge spiritual need. And it's a place where miracles take place, where Jesus touches the brokenness and the pain of people's lives. We have to pray and really seek the face of the Lord. But one thing I know, that God is talking to us, not about a city. He's talking to us about cities.
Started like years and years ago when we first, you know, gave our life to Christ. And from like the moment we turned to God, we like knew that that was our life. We weren't gonna look back. And even from the very beginning, like people would pray for us and they would tell us just all these different things about what they seen in us. And a lot of times it'd be prophecies about us, you know, planting a campus or a church. And we were like, no way, like, it's never going to happen. We didn't really believe it, but it always kind of just stood there, you know, like it was always kind of on the back burner. And well, maybe one day, you know, it wasn't like a hope, but it was always there. Like, I think God kept it there as a seed. You know, years later, as we're at Gateway and we're serving there, when, you know, for years, Pastor David got a vision from God about 10 cities. And when he shared it with the congregation and with us, something in us kind of just like came alive again. I think that back burner thing like came, you know, to the forefront.
I think there's something about our background, our experience, our heart, and just our upbringing here in the Bay Area and the people that we love. And meeting those people in Arizona, that's the draw. Now, I believe there's possibly somebody sitting in a coffee shop that's maybe young, he's hopeless, he's clueless, maybe he's contemplating life. And maybe there's a teen mom that feels like they can't make it. And our background, our life, our heart for these people, I believe if our intersections collide, and I think we can bring a message of hope that God can deliver them, God can help them, that God can set them free.
We know that God is, you know, calling Gateway to expand and to reach beyond San Jose, and He's already doing that, you know, in Clovis and Santa Rosa and in Modesto, and when we went to, when we visited Arizona, even just like last year, you know, most recently, we felt like God was saying, this is a city, you know, that I have people that are in need, spiritual need, people that are lost, that really need a, they need to find healing and freedom, and not just that, but really discipleship and growing in the Word and growing in faith and learning what it means to live free and not to be, not to continue to, you know, be in the same cycles of destruction. And I think, again, because we came from that, we have such a heart to see people, like, free, to see people experience what it really means to live a life that God intended for them.
We hope to see a thriving local church where people can come and be a part of a transformed life. And a transformed life is someone that's choosing to better themselves by following Christ, being a disciple of Christ, and as they are transformed, they are helping others transform.
We're honored that Jesus would choose us, you know, that God would say, I'm choosing you two to share my love and you know, my truth to people of all different backgrounds, all different nationalities, all different ages, that He would allow us to just be a voice for Him. That's amazing.
Amen. Isn't that exciting? Makes us want to go, like, right now. Amen. I just want to thank, real quick, just a quick plug, Joe, who was on guitar here or on bass this morning, him, JP, and the rest of the team, they did an amazing job with that video. Love those guys. I so appreciate them. But let's jump into the Word this morning. The title of our sermon this morning is called Process to the Promise. Process to the Promise. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you were headed somewhere, someplace, and it just felt like it was taking so long to get there? You know, like you got a place in mind, you got a destination, and you're trying to get there, you're trying to go, and you just are like, man, am I even going in the right direction? Like, I should have been there by now. There must be an easier route. There must be a shorter way. There must be just, maybe I'm on the wrong path. Let me read you guys our text this morning. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through 18 says this. It says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. Huh. Can you say that? Can you just go, huh? Huh. God said, if my people were faced with the battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. This is it. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Let me just highlight something in this text here. Let's just imagine ourselves for a moment. We are the Israelite nation, the Israelite people. And our fearless leader, Moses, is negotiating our future in Pharaoh's office. And we're all sitting by this campfire, and we're just wondering, like, man, what's going to happen? Are we doomed? And God had intervened, and it didn't work. And Pharaoh was just trying to keep the slavery going, and here comes Moses down, and he shares with the people, and he says, I got good news, I got great news, and I got other news. And he says, the good news is this, ladies and gentlemen, we're free. We are no longer slaves in Egypt anymore. You imagine 60,000 people just cheering, rah, jumping, clapping. Yeah, Mo, I never doubted you. Like, where are we going? Well, that's the great news. Moses says, we're going to the promised land. Oh, the place must have erupted. I mean, you imagine just like, oh, milk, honey, grapes, yeah. Moses, yeah, like, he's the man, like, you know. And then Moses says, but I got other news. He said, you see the promised land right there? Like, you can see it, you can taste it, I can smell it. He says, but God wants us to go the roundabout way. God wants us to go that way. I'll never forget my first missions trip to Guatemala. First time out of the country. A little bit about me, I'm a homebody. I love the comfort of my home. I love to be home with my family. One of my favorite things to do is just to be home, be with my family, just my sons, my daughter. And Pastor Chip says, hey, you're the new youth guy, so you got to take the kids out to Guatemala. And for 2 weeks, 14 days. And okay, let's do it. Let's go. And so we did this amazing, and we just planned this amazing trip. As soon as we got on the ground in Guatemala, as soon as we landed and we touched ground, I was homesick. And I'm not just like, oh, I miss like the States or I miss my family. I wanted to go and cry in my bed, homesick. And we stuck it through. We had an amazing trip. On day 12 of 14, this is what we did. We loaded up the team, about 20 people, teenagers, some adults. We loaded them up on the plane, and we sent them back to the U.S. We sent them back to the promised land right here. This is the promised land when you're in Guatemala for 2 weeks. We send them back, and we're like, what did I just do? Why aren't I on that plane with the rest of the team? I could be home sooner. Well, Chip had this brilliant idea. He had an idea. He planned a two-day little mini excursion just for myself, my son, and his daughter. And the plan was to do this. We were going to take this one-hour flight from the main city, Guatemala City, to Tikal. And we're going to explore the Mayan ruins. And the same day, fly back to Guatemala City, wake up early the next morning, and then fly back home to the promised land. So great. Great trip. I mean, we did this, woke up early, flew to Tikal. One of the most amazing things I ever seen, the pyramids, amazing. And then we're headed back that evening. We're into the little airport in Tikal, and it's just an hour flight. And I happened to look over, long day, I happened to look over, and my son Albert is sitting down in the bench waiting to board the plane, and he looks sick. As a dog. He looks bad. And I said to him what any other good dad would say. I said, boy, you better suck it up. True story. This is a true story. I said, you better get right because we're going to board this plane. I said, there's no hotels here. They have what they call hostels, and that doesn't sound very comfortable. I said, suck it up. So we get on this plane. As soon as we board this plane, he starts throwing up everywhere. He's like splashing people in front of us, and everyone's like, you know, we're giving him bags. He's on his second bag. The flight attendants come. They're like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, you guys are not going to be able to fly with us today. And I said, I'm sorry. You are mistaken. And so there's this big commotion. He's like throwing up everywhere. He's on his second bag, and more flight attendants come. And all of a sudden, I look out the window, and here comes this little stocky airport cop or security guard, and he's running down the airway there. And he boards the plane, and they point at us, and he's like, "You come." And I said, "You no." He says, you can't fly with us. Your son is too sick. And I said, you don't understand. I have to wake up early the next morning, catch a 5:30 flight back home to the promised land. I am not missing that flight. You can have my son, but I am not missing this flight. No, I didn't say that. I said, my son is fine. You guys are all overreacting. You're crazy. I said, just give him some 7-Up, because if you're Mexican, 7-Up cures everything. I said, give him some 7-Up. He's going to be fine. This is a true story. And they're like, oh, it's all this commotion. I said, let's get this plane going. Come on. I look over to Pastor Chip. I said, Chip, like, can you help me out? And he's like, I don't even know this guy. Like, I'm not, like, he's like, I... This is day 13 of, like, we're away from our family. So this is what they did. Finally, they move us to first class. My son gets all the 7-Up you could ever think of. We fly home that night to Guatemala City. We wake up at 5:30. My son is still sick, but he gets up. He's such a trooper. I love him. And we fly home, and we made it to the promised land. Can I tell you something? You have a promised land. You have a place that God is calling you to. You have a place that God has predestined you to. He has a place where he say, I got this for you. I've given you these abilities. I've given you these giftings. I've given you these passions, because I've called you to this place, and it's called your promised land. It's the will of God for your life. It's your path. It's your journey. It's your destiny. He called the Israelites out of slavery. These are God's people, and he loved them. He loved them. And he says, all right, it's time. See, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived for what God has prepared for those who love him. He loved the Israelites. He loved them, and he calls them, and he says, you're no longer slaves. You're no longer bound. You're no longer captive. He says, I'm calling you to a place. I'm calling you to the promised land. You're going to be blessed. Your children are going to be blessed. Your children's children are going to be blessed. And you could just imagine everyone's excited. Everyone's ready to go. And he says, but I'm going to send you on the roundabout path. I'm going to send you on the roundabout path. Let me say this to you. Before God can walk us to the promise, he has to walk us through the process. Let me say it this way. God is more concerned about the process that he has begun in your life. The challenges, the obstacles, the hurdles, the transitions, he's more concerned about the process than he is the promise, the destination.
How did I get stuck with coming up here and talking about the process? He got to come up here and pump you guys all up and talk about all the good things of God, and I get to come and talk about the process. Right? The process. God took them in a roundabout way. And that was his intention, because he said that he knew that if he took them straight to the promised land, they probably would turn back. They weren't ready to encounter what they were going to encounter. And so I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about the process, because the process is important. The process really isn't a bad thing, because God's with you through the process. And before I even talk about the process at a very high level, I want to say this, that God loved the Israelites. He loved them so much. And so him taking them through a roundabout way was out of his love. He didn't do it to be mean. He didn't do it to because he didn't want them to get there. He did it because he loved them so much. And just like the Israelites, God loves you and I with that same love. He has a promise for us that is so real and it's so tangible, and he can see it. It's right there. And he's going to walk us all through a process so we can experience all that he has for us here on earth, right? The ultimate promise is in heaven, but he wants us to be able to live here on earth with the same promises, with purpose, and with hope, and with dreams that he instilled in us. They're not dreams that we created. They're dreams that God instilled in us for a reason and for such a time as this. Do you guys agree with me? Yeah. So he's such a good God. So I'm going to talk about three things today, about life change, which is step one. The second thing is the big one, and it's heart change.
And then we're going to talk about courage to be able to move into what God is wanting us to move into. So life change, right? The Israelites started off in Egypt. Can I tell you something, guys? We all start off in Egypt. Every single one of us in this room, that's where we start, in Egypt. And everyone's Egypt looks different. Everyone's Egypt, you know, we all have our stories of where we were, you know, before God came and helped us to make a life change. And I know, like, for my husband and I, our Egypt was before we knew Christ. We didn't know Christ. We weren't raised in the church. We didn't have parents that taught us about the good things of God. We didn't have anyone telling us that what we were doing was destructive, that what the decisions we made had consequences. We didn't have any of that. We grew up in homes that were broken. We grew up in homes that had, you know, our parents had broken, failing marriages. There was drugs and alcohol. There was verbal abuse. There was physical abuse. There was violence. It was all around us all the time. So we grew up in a home that for us, that was normal. And so when you have parents that you know love you, we knew our parents loved us. That's not even a question. Like, our parents loved us with everything they had in them. They loved us. They would do anything for us. But our parents were so caught up and so consumed in what their mess was. They were trying to just live life, just trying to make it to the next day. They weren't able to invest or have time for us like some parents can have. And so what we did was we ended up just going out into the world and we began to find our own journey and our own life. And we did what we knew, right? We did what we saw. Drugs, alcohol, just things that weren't anything that was gonna give us a good life. And so because of those choices, we lived out the consequences. And can you imagine this at the age of 16 years old? 16, already being tired. Because you've lived a life that you shouldn't have lived anyways, and you're so tired of the destruction that you're living in every day. And so you're in a place where it's like, man, how did I get here? Have you ever felt like that? How did I get here? Like, how in the world did I get here? How was it that I married this person? And, like, how did I get to this place of, like, my marriage being ready to fall apart? How did I get here where I thought that God, or I thought that God said start this business, but yet the business is failing? Like, how did I get here? It happens, right? And so we came to the place. We said, how do we get here? Someone introduced us to Jesus. We went to church, and we gave our life to Christ. And that was our life change. It was such an important step in the promises that God had for us. And so we went and we said, yes, God, we can no longer live this lifestyle. We have to make a change. And we made a life change. And life change is pretty like the Israelites. Their life change was they said, okay, we're going to follow Moses and we're going to physically leave Egypt. They physically left, right? You can physically make changes in your life like we did. We physically went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday we physically got there. We tried to get plugged into, like, you know, a small group or a Bible study. We physically did that every week. But I'll tell you this, it took me an entire year of coming to church and sitting in the back row and just listening to the preacher for an entire year before I let God do the next step, which was a heart change. You can come to church every week. You can say, well, it sounds good. It makes me feel good when I'm there. But until the heart change, which is the second part of the process, happens, nothing really changes, right? Nothing really changes. Our heart is so important. And so the heart is something that I want to talk about in the next process. We go through a heart change when we surrender our lives to Christ, right? That's number one. But heart change is a continual thing. And it's important that we allow God to examine our hearts as he pleases, because we live in a world where disappointment happens, which is why God instructs us in Proverbs 4:23 to guard our hearts above all else, because the condition of your heart and my heart will determine the course of your life and my life, right? Out of our heart is the way we see the world around us. Even if, you know, everything is like perfect to other people. You can have the perfect job. You can have the perfect family. You can have the perfect situation. You can have everything that seems right and perfect to everyone around you. But I tell you this, if your heart is not in a good place, you will not see the good in your life. You will experience things that God never wanted you to experience, all because of our heart. And so in the wilderness, would you guys agree with me that when the Israelites went into the wilderness, they went in the roundabout way. Would you agree that they had their hearts kind of went back and forth? Right? Back and forth. They wanted to go. They didn't want to go. They wanted to go. They didn't want to go. Like they, as soon as they left Egypt and they got to the Red Sea and they heard Pharaoh was coming for them, they said, "What did you do to us? I want to go back. I don't want to come up against this battle that's right in front of me. I want to go back to that place that seemed really, really comfortable." Even though they were in slavery, but they wanted to go back because the battle seemed too big for them. Fear crept in, right? Can I tell you something, guys? That in the process, just like the Israelites, we are all going to face battles. Every single one of us in this room will face battles. And I want to talk about two types of battles that we'll face, okay? We're going to face external battles on the outside. External. That's something maybe like sickness, even though it's physical, it's still an external battle. Failing marriages, financial problems, family problems. And of course, we're going to face the enemy because the enemy does not want you to see your promised land. The enemy is real. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's saying, oh, heck no, you are not going to live the life that God has for you. Right? That's the enemy. He's always there kind of creeping around, but you don't have to worry because God got to him already. He's taken care of. And then we have another battle, which is internal. We have internal battles, guys, here. Internal battles are like sin, temptation, pain, depression, anxiety, anger, bitterness. How about this one? Unbelief. Those are internal things that we are going to battle. And the truth is this, is what I've come to realize, is that the battles that we encounter reveal the condition of our heart. The battles that we come up against, God allows those things in our life to show us the condition of our heart. And when the Israelites were in the wilderness and they were trying to get there, every time something hard happened, the condition of their heart crept up. Now, they were able to make amends and make it through, and Moses prayed with them, and they got through it, but the condition always rose up, and so battles come, and it shows us where we're at in our heart. I think about a time several years ago when I faced an inward battle, and this is kind of where I'm going to kind of land here, because we've been talking about heart as a church for the last several weeks, right? Heart and soul. We've been talking about having an unoffendable heart. We're talking about just the heart in general. And today I want to talk about a different part of us and in our heart condition. And I remember several years ago when I battled an inward battle, which was unbelief. I had been in, you know, following Christ for so long, and like I had been serving him for so long, and I was a servant and everything. And I came to a place in my life where, because it didn't look the way I thought it was supposed to look, and because it was a little bit uncomfortable for me, anyone here like change? You do? I thought I liked change too. And then recently God said, "You're really good, Jenny, with the whole like physical change, but like you'll go somewhere if I tell you to go, but you're not too good with the inward change." And it's like, you know what? That's true. I remember when God, when we made a change in our life, and like I said, it didn't look the way I thought it was going to look. And because it didn't look the way or feel the way, and it was really uncomfortable for me, and it was all because God wanted to do a work in here, and I wasn't really letting him do it. I thought, you know what? Maybe this whole ministry thing isn't for me. My husband can do it. He's good at it. You know, he don't love it, but he's really good at speaking, you know, to people. He's really good about encouraging people. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and like put my calling on a shelf, and I'm going to go ahead and just focus on my work, which was at that time I had worked at Kaiser and I was just doing stuff, right? So I just focused there, and I had to come to church all the time, and I loved Jesus, but I wasn't walking in purpose because I didn't believe anymore that that was for me. And I think about Peter in the Bible. You know, Peter was one of the disciples of Christ, one of the 12. And Peter followed Jesus for so long, right? And then at some point when the hardest battle of their life came, when Jesus was going to be crucified, Peter denied even knowing Christ. 3 times, right? He denied him. And then Peter made a decision to walk away. when the verse about God taking the Israelites in a roundabout way, and he said, because if they experience a battle, they're going to go back. One version says, if they experience a battle, they're going to withdraw. They're going to withdraw. And like Peter, he withdrew from God's plan for his life. He withdrew from following that path that God had already ordained for him. Like Peter, I withdrew from what I believe God wanted. And maybe you guys in this room can relate to that. Maybe God has given you a dream. Maybe he's given you a hope. And maybe you're like, you know what? It's just not for me because it's just not working out. It's not the way I thought it was going to be. And maybe you've made a decision, a conscious decision to say, I'm going to just put it right here like I did, like Peter did. And Peter went back, right? Peter went back to become a fisherman, even though he was always supposed to be a fisher of men. He was always supposed to go and share the good news of Jesus, but he went back to that boat and he stood there because it was a place of comfort. For Peter, he went back to Egypt. We've all been there. Unbelief. Sometimes it just creeps in without us even realizing it because of the things that are around us. But this is the good news, is that Jesus came back for Peter. And Jesus said, you know what, Peter? I see you. He may be telling you right now, I see you. I see you out there. I haven't forgotten what I told you. I haven't forgotten the promise that I gave you. I haven't forgotten that I told you to write that book. I haven't forgotten that I told you to go out and maybe to create this new nonprofit. I haven't forgotten that I told you to go out and take that CEO job because you're going to transform that company and they're going to have a new way of feeding into the body of Christ. I haven't forgot. And like Peter, to Peter, I haven't forgot about you. When Peter seen him, this is the key, guys. Like Peter, we can love God and still not be following what he has ordained for our life to be. We can love him. We can come every day, every Sunday to church. We can even be in the Bible and read the word. We can even be praying. We can be being around the people that God has placed around us, but we can still not be following the plan that God had ordained for us to follow. We can still put that purpose on the shelf, that calling on the shelf, and say, it's not for me, but I still love you, God. And what did Peter do? When Peter ran to him, the first thing that Jesus said was, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, you know I love you. Peter loved him. And he said, then feed my sheep. Then Peter, if you love me, then feed my sheep. God, you know I love you. Then why aren't you feeding my sheep? In other words, he's saying, if you love me, then why won't you acknowledge that I created a plan for your life? Why won't you acknowledge that before you were even in your mother's womb, that I writ all your days out? I wrote them all out. I had a plan for you. There's a purpose for you on this earth today, right now. Why can't you acknowledge that plan is good? I know you love me. And Peter said, you're right. And from that moment on, Peter went and he became the person that God called him to be. I'll say this, guys, we all have the same purpose, which is to love God and to love people. Not just with affection, but with action. But the way we do it is different. We all have different giftings. We all have different callings. We all have different things, right? We all have a plan that God uniquely designed for every one of us. And when we move into that plan, when we say, okay, God, I hear you. And maybe you have a hard time. You know what? I can't hear God. Ask him because he wants to encounter. He wants to tell you what his plan is for your life. When we walk into that plan of purpose, that's where the promises land. Now, I don't want to like say, oh, if you don't like walk in purpose, you're going to be miserable. No, you'll be blessed. God will bless you. But you'll always feel like something is missing. You will always feel like something is missing. You will always be searching for something else. God will love you. God will bless you. But you will never really feel fulfilled because your life was designed for something specific. And only God has that plan. So today, I just want to encourage you. I believe that's the word that God just sunk in my heart for everyone here. That God really wants to bring that belief back to that place of purpose. that God really wants to remind you that he hasn't forgotten about you, that he wants to encounter you, that if you would go to him and you would seek him out and you would say, God, forgive me for not allowing myself to come into agreement with what you said my life is supposed to look like, he will in an instant say, it's okay, I love you. And I'm going to get you back on track. Oh, not because it's for him, even though it is for his kingdom, but because he knows that in the place of purpose is where you're going to find peace. He knows that. That's where the peace comes, right? That's where the power comes. That's where transformation comes. That's where you see miracles happening right in front of you, because that's where God's will is for your life. Amen? I want to end with this real quick, because I'm out of time and I talk too much. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, it says this, "The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants so that you will love him with all your heart and soul, and that so you may live." So that you may live. So that you may live. When that happens, when we come into agreement with God's plan for our life, then that's when the third part happens, and that's courage. When we align with God's plan, this courage rises up within us.
Amen. I'm going to close.
Yeah.
Just going to talk a few more minutes about courage. You know, we're in our roundabout. We're looking at the city of Phoenix, Arizona. We're born and raised right here, San Jose. It's all we know. We thought we would stay here forever. And I appreciate all the texts, the phone calls, the messages about how hot it is over there. But like all of a sudden we're getting all these reports like planes are blowing up, garbage cans melting, like so encouraging, like thank you. We understand how hard it's going to be. We get it. But you know what? Sometimes the will of God is not the most comfortable. Sometimes it's not. When I think about our journey and the team that's forming, what we're all leaving behind, we're walking away, let me tell you, from our dream job right here in this church. We're walking away from our dream home that we just purchased. We're walking away from our loving family, our community of church, our believers. We're walking away from it. We're walking away from family. Let me tell you why. Over the past years, we've been visiting the city of Phoenix, and we've been just running into people and meeting people. There was a young man dancing on that in that video. His sister tragically passed away, and they called us to go to officiate the funeral. And while we're there, we just were loving, grieving with the family, really this community of people. And our prayer was this: God, send a shepherd. Send somebody that would love them. Send somebody that would care for them. Send somebody that would help them get to their purpose and their plan. And then God says, how about you? I said, I'd rather you send Pastor David and Kathy. They would do great. And just over and over and over, meeting people, seeing the needs, seeing the hunger, God just starts speaking to our heart and speaking to our heart. And there our roundabout process began. You know, Jesus had a roundabout path. He's right here in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's there with some of his closest friends, and they left him. Can I tell you some of your friends and some of your family who you thought would be there, they may not make it on your journey, your path. This is for you. It's your plan. It's your process. And Jesus is in this garden. He gets to the Father and he says, Father, he says, if there's an easier way, if there's just an easier, direct way, he says, I want it. A second time, he says, Father, let this cup pass. I'm not sure I want to go the roundabout way. And then he says, okay, your will be done. Your will be done. Jesus took the most difficult path to create the greatest promise. That promise was the promise of salvation for you and I. Can I tell you something? If you stay the course and commit to your path, as difficult as it may be, not only will you live a fulfilled life, but you will bless others on the way. Can I pray for you? Could you close your eyes and bow your head? Maybe you're in a personal roundabout way. Maybe you're in a process. I want to pray for you. But first I want to pray. Maybe someone is here and you're in Egypt. Maybe you haven't made a decision to get started. Maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus went to that cross from that garden. He goes to the cross and he dies. He paid the ultimate price. He died so that you and I could live. Live an abundant life. Live a fulfilled life. And that's what he's promised to you. He doesn't promise a perfect life. He promises a fulfilled life. If you're here this morning and you say, I'd love to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I'd love to start my journey. Or maybe you're saying, I need to restart my journey. I'd love to pray for you. Could you lift your hand so I could see you? Amen. Amen. Anyone else say, you know, today's my day. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. Anyone else say, today's my day. Today's my day. I'm going to start my journey. I'm going to commit to this path. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, Lord, we are so thankful for your goodness, your mercy. We're thankful that you sent your Son to die on the cross so that we could live. That his process would benefit us with eternal life and life abundantly on earth. Lord, for those that raise their hand, Lord, I pray you would come in like a flood. You would invade their life, every area. You would meet them, love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have a prayer. We'd love to pray this together, and then we're going to continue with worship. Can you pray this with me? Father God, thank you for the process to my promise. I've grown tired of traveling on my own. Lord, I need your strength and direction. Today, choose your path. Help me to stay the course. Thank you for amazing place ahead of me. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Let's thank Pastor Albert and Jenny. Amen. These are good words. Come on, let's thank the Lord together for these good words. How many are on your way to your promise? Amen. We're not quite ready to close the service. We're going to receive our tithe and offering and just have a little more worship and Holy Spirit time. I'd like for you just to soak in God's goodness and have a few more minutes just to work with God on the words that you've heard. Those of you that raised your hands and received Christ, as well as those of you that are new and you've never put that card in, the welcome here card that you heard about earlier in the service, just want to mention on the back of that card, it says, I've decided. And those of you that raised your hands to receive Christ, we would love to hear from you in this service. You fill out that card that says, I've decided. Tell us the decision that you've made, because we want to stand with you and pray for you. You can drop that card in the offering as it comes by. We would love to hear about the decision that you've made for the Lord. The ushers are going to come, And we're going to have a little bit of worship as you give. And then I'm going to ask the elders of our church to come and just stand with Albert and Jenny. We're going to pray together, pray over this vision to launch. Now, this isn't happening next week. It's happening next year. But still, we're banking up our prayers, aren't we? To take a city, we're going to ramp up. And how many think Albert and Jenny are going to be our next great couple to do a campus? You think they're going to win? I think they're going to succeed. So we'll tell you over the next few months how you can be a part of this, and we'll answer all the questions. But right now, let's just worship the Lord and thank you for your giving. Come on, worship team, take it.
Okay, church, let's sing this together. You have no rival, and you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the king.
Albert, Jenny, come on up. I want to invite all of our pastors and all of our elders. If you're an elder in our church, just join me here on the platform. We're going to have special prayer. I do want to mention, if you're new in the church, that immediately after this service, as you heard before, we'll have a special reception for you. Kathy and I would love to meet you if we haven't met you. We won't detain you for long, but we would love to shake hands. It's our way of saying we believe in church being personal, and so we'd love to know you. That's going to be down the hall at the end of the hallway here in room, what's that room called? 201. Thank you. I always forget that room. I don't know. 102, 201, 123, 456. You'll see a big sign. All right. If I can find it, you can find it. All right. Albert and Jenny, we are proud of what God has put in your heart. We're proud of this desire to be a part of our vision for 10 cities. We prophesy to you utter success, that God is going to meet every single need, and that because you have, you know, lived out this message that you preached to us this morning, that God is going to bring you to a place of fruitfulness beyond your wildest dreams. As your pastor, I'm very proud of you. We're going to figure out how to make it without you, but here's a principle. You give from among your best. Okay, you don't go into your, if somebody needs a pair of socks, you don't go into your dead sock drawer, the one that's, you know, full of holes and rotten. And so good. If you're going to give, you pull from your best. Amen. And so we're pulling from our best with Albert and Jenny. And we just declare grace and success. The next few months are months of preparation and planning and team formation. And there's a lot to do. We covet your prayers for this couple, because as you heard, they're stepping out in faith, but we are behind them 100%. This is going to be a gateway campus, our fifth city, and God is, it's going to be great. And Albert and Jenny, they are part of this family. So you say, why are Albert and Jenny leaving us? They're not leaving us. They are a part of us. How many understand that? So we're not saying goodbye to Albert and Jenny. They're just moving down the road a piece to keep the vision of Gateway strong, all right? So stretch your hand out toward them, and we pray, Father, your grace over the next few months, and Lord, as it's probably about a year or maybe a little bit less before they move to Phoenix, that these 8-10 months, Lord, will be amazing months of wisdom, of prophetic direction, Lord. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Lord, you will guide our steps, Lord. As a church, as a leadership team, we'll move together in unity, Lord, to see a city impacted, Lord. Yet another city. We give you the glory for this, Lord. We're not walking cocky today, Lord. We're walking humbly. We're believing, Lord, for many souls to be saved, because we know that you are the one that saves. You are the one that heals. Bless Albert and Jenny as they have blessed us today, and continue just to give them strength and grace. And Father, let that team form together, and let the location come together. Lord, just provide everything that's needed financially to see this whole vision come together. We praise you, Lord, that you are able. We bless them in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Now, I already blessed you earlier in the service. In case you didn't notice it, I blessed you earlier. So you are a blessed people. I love each and every one of you. We'll have a few of our ministers here and prayer warriors up here at the front if you need healing prayer. Thank you for your attention today. And if you're going to join Kathy and I at the reception, walk this way and we'll meet you over there. God bless you.